Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. And we have a live link at thetrumpet.com. You can find our podcasts there as well. You can find podcasts of Live by Every Word and the other programming here on KPCG. And we're adding to that archive all the time, so there's plenty to listen to if you've missed any programs. Well, let's start today by looking at a warning from Jesus Christ Himself. And this warning is found in Luke 14. If you have a Bible handy, it'd be good to get it out. We could look at these passages together. But notice this in Luke 14, verses 28 through 30. Christ says, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sits not down first and counts the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish." So what is Christ talking about here? Well, if you read the preceding verses, you see that Christ is discussing what it takes for people to be his true disciples. What does it take for a person to be a true disciple, a true Christian? Well, before really committing to living God's way of life, a person does have to count the cost. Of course, God has to call somebody. You can read that in John 6 and verse 44. But then after they're called, what do they do with it? How do they respond to it? Well, when a person is called, then they have to count the cost. Are they going to be able to finish this building, if you will? Will they be able to finish the job that Christ has for them to do? Will they be able to obey God? The cost has to be counted. God is offering an incredible reward to those he calls out of this world. But there is a cost involved in living by every word of God. So let's consider what is required of a true Christian. What does it mean to be a true Christian? Lots of people claim to be Christian. But what does it mean to be a true Christian? Well, the first thing that a true Christian has to do is always put God first. Always put God first. Now, that sounds simple enough. Of course, yes, let's put God first. Easy to say, much more challenging to do. Here in Luke 14, if we back up a couple of verses, verses 26 and 27, Christ says, "If any man comes to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." Verse 27, "And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." Now, if you just read these verses, they could seem a bit confusing. But we have to understand what Christ means here. When he says hate, he means love less by comparison. In other words, a true Christian has to put following God first, even above their own physical family. So what would be a practical example of this? Well, consider the Sabbath day. Consider the Sabbath day. Now, a true Christian understands that they must keep God's Sabbath day every week. That's the seventh day, that's Saturday. Sunset to sunset, that's holy time, it's God's time, and has to be kept holy every week if a person is a true Christian. Well, what if a family member that doesn't keep the Sabbath comes to them and says, "Well, come on, let's go to the big football game on Saturday. You know, there's this big activity we want to go to, everybody's going. You know, we'd love for you to be there. You're part of the family, and we love you, and we want you there, and it's exciting. And I know you keep the Sabbath, but this is just one time. You know, you can keep the Sabbath in the morning, and then in the afternoon we can go watch the football game. It'll be fine." Well, What does a person do in that situation? Christ says to put God first and obey him, even if it conflicts with the desires of the family. See, a lot of human reasoning can enter into different situations like that, but we have to go back and look at the Word of God. God doesn't say, keep the Sabbath day holy unless something else comes up. He says, keep the Sabbath day holy. Right? That's the fourth commandment. It's pretty straightforward. And here Christ is saying, as we've just been reading, that you can't be a true Christian and put anything in front of God, including family members. And Christ is very specific about that. Christ says we have to put God first and obey him, even if it conflicts with the desires of the family. Now, that's hard to do. So a person has to count the cost. Can they put God first? With the example of the Sabbath day, can they keep the Sabbath day every week, even if it conflicts with a family member and what they want to do, even if it conflicts with a spouse, if they're married before they're called by God? What if it conflicts with the job? Now, that's one example. Christ says, look, count the cost. Don't start building the tower and then say, well, I don't really want to commit totally. We have to count the cost. What about when Christ says we have to bear our cross? Well, can a person obey God even though they may have great test and trial? What about when a great test and trial comes? Can a true Christian still follow God? Well, if they're a true Christian, they will. They will. I mean, just look at what Christ went through in obedience to God. The Christian life is the straight and narrow path. It is a wonderful life, but it's not easy, especially in a world that's going the opposite direction. In test and trial, we still have to follow God and put God first. That's part of counting the cost, making sure that, you know, we intend to fully do that. And then, of course, rely on God for the help necessary to accomplish what he has for us to do. We're not going to do it by our own human might, but we have to make sure that we're willing to let God work through us and help us so that we can follow his will and put God first. Notice this quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. This is a free course at thetrumpet.com. If you're not signed up for it, please do so. It's free. It's a great course. It says, committing to God's way of life requires a sense of urgency. A sense of urgency. It requires putting all other pursuits second. It requires forsaking all the false ways of the world and being willing to take whatever consequences come. That's not easy to do. Really putting God first. Putting God first in everything. That's something that a true Christian has to do. Mr. Armstrong wrote about his experience, Herbert W. Armstrong. He wrote about his experience when he was first called by God and he had to make some big decisions. He had to count the cost, as Christ said. And it wasn't easy. And notice what he wrote. This is from his autobiography. He says, this surrender to God, this repentance, this giving up of the world, of friends and associates, and of everything was the most bitter pill I ever swallowed. He says, yet it was the only medicine in all my life that ever brought a healing. People are scrambling for medicines often when there's illnesses and things. But here's a medicine that healed. It was turning his life over to God, repenting. That's what Mr. Armstrong was writing about. And it changed things for him. But it wasn't easy. He did have to count the cost. He knew that it meant a change of direction and a change of life to go from living the broad path of this world and walking that straight and narrow path that God requires true Christians to walk. And so, what did Mr. Armstrong gain by answering God's call and really putting God first in his life? What was the benefit of doing that? Well, we'll let him answer that. He says, I began to see everything in a new and different light. He's talking about after he really repented. He says, why should it have been a difficult and painful experience to surrender to my Maker and my God? Why was it painful to surrender to obey God's right ways? Why? Now I came to a new outlook on life. Somehow, I began to realize a new fellowship and friendship had come into my life. I began to be conscious of a contact and fellowship with Christ and with God the Father. When I read and studied the Bible, God was talking to me. And now I love to listen. I began to pray and knew that in prayer I was talking with God. I was not yet very well acquainted with God, but one gets to be better acquainted with another by constant contact and continuous conversation. Mr. Armstrong gained a friendship, a lifelong friendship, an eternal friendship. He became a friend to God. He developed this relationship. That's what he gained. He gained perspective. He gained a new vision, a new insight. God began to teach him through his word. And so at first, even though it was difficult for Mr. Armstrong to come out of the world's ways of living, a whole new world opened up to him. And a much better world than the one he had stepped out of. But Mr. Armstrong really had to count the cost. He understood he wasn't making a small decision that he would, you know, go back on if he felt like going back in a couple of years when things got a little tough or there was a trial or a test. No, he was making a life change. So he had to count the cost. And when we count the cost and we do go forward to obey God, we're not alone in that endeavor. We are not alone. We're not taking this journey by ourselves. We could never make it. Notice this in Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. God's not going to leave us or forsake us. Verse 6 says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Because, see, we could look and be concerned about what man will do. But if we have God helping us, Christ living in us through the power of his Holy Spirit, we don't have to fear that. God's Spirit gives his people peace of mind, sound mind. Now, the correspondence course says, Christ will never leave us while we serve him in fulfilling this special calling. So if you're in a position where you're counting the cost and thinking about what direction you want to go in life, just remember that Christ is there to help us. He's there to help you. And he's not going to forsake you or leave you. He's going to help you as long as the quote says, you serve him in fulfilling the calling that he has for you. So to be a true Christian, we do have to put God first. And we have to count the cost. Can we do that? There's something else that a true Christian has to do. And it's one of the hardest things for anybody to do. And that is to admit when we are wrong. We have to be able to admit when we are wrong. God doesn't call anybody because they're right. He calls them because they're wrong and they're going the wrong way. And then he has to teach them. They have an attitude where they can be taught and be taught the right way. The correspondence course says, if God is calling you, you will face perhaps the most difficult task for any human, admitting you have been wrong. This is the beginning of real repentance. You will want to change your life. Stop following Satan's way and do what God tells you to do. You will begin to have the power to say no to wrong urges, habits, desires, and attitudes. The spiritually mature Christian must have the ability to discern truth from error. But it is not enough to just hear the truth. One must respond. that's a hard thing for humans to do. We all know that because we're all humans. We have a hard time admitting that we're wrong. Certainly, without God's help, it's a very rare thing that a person would do that. And not just admit doing something wrong, but in fact being wrong. Just going the wrong direction, having a wrong attitude, not looking at things the right way. That's hard to admit. But everybody has gone the wrong way. Everyone has sinned. And we have to change that to where we hear God's word and then we do it. Romans 2 and verse 13 says, "For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified." That's what repentance is about. It's about becoming a doer of the law. And people don't naturally keep God's law. They actually go the other way because Satan's broadcasting to mankind. And they don't notice it, don't recognize it. But attitudes, emotions, moods, impulses, you know, those things are being influenced by Satan, the prince of the power of the air. And if that sounds sort of out there, if that's something you haven't heard before, well, just think about the influence of music or the influence of movies or the influence of comments that people will make on Twitter or whatever, social media. It affects mood. It affects attitude. Where does that come from? Satan very much surcharges the air with his negativity and his selfishness. Mr. Armstrong wrote this in the autobiography, talking again about his experience being converted, counting the cost, repenting, changing, and putting God first, and then having to admit that he had been wrong and going the wrong direction. He says, "But I had been beaten down." He had some, if you've read the history, he's had some difficulties with his job, and he was living through the Depression, and of course the economy was in a very bad situation, and he had just a lot of things go against him where he felt like he should have been successful, and yet there were problems. So as he says, "I had been beaten down. God had brought that about, though I didn't realize it then. Repeated business reverses, failure after failure, had destroyed self-confidence." So Mr. Armstrong had a lot of self-confidence because he did well, but yet he had these failures now. Got rid of that self-confidence. He says, "I was broken in spirit. The self in me didn't want to die. It wanted to try to get up from the ignominious defeat and try once again to tread the broad and popular way of vanity of this world. But now I knew that way was wrong. I knew its ultimate penalty was death." See, he had been studying God's word. And God had opened his mind to understand it, that going the way of the world, going the way of vanity, is actually a way that ends in death. That's eating from the wrong tree. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that tree ends in death. Mr. Armstrong knew he had to go a different direction. And but as he says, the self in him didn't want to die. Now, he's not talking about physically dying. He's talking about changing his life's direction. He didn't want to give up what he had built himself up to be. That old vain thinking didn't want to go away. But he knew that it had to. But it was a hard struggle. And Mr. Armstrong, he came to see that, in fact, he was traveling the wrong direction. He was wrong. And in fact, he was wrong in his thinking. His goals were wrong. His ambitions were wrong. And so with God's help, he admitted that he was wrong, and he set about to go the opposite direction. But again, as we're reading just some of the highlights of that autobiography and some of his comments related to being converted, it wasn't easy. It wasn't simple. It took time. It took him quite some time to really get his mind going the right direction. And then it was something that he continued to grow in and understand more and more of God's truth his whole life. But he really set about to live according to every word of God. That's what he wanted to do, and he really strived to do that. And of course, he needed God's help for that. But Mr. Armstrong really counted the cost. He really evaluated what he was going to do with his life. And it wasn't something that he took lightly. He really did count the cost. And he realized that, well, I'm going to have to put God first. Christ said that's what has to be done. And admit error, repent, change. And it wasn't a one-time thing. I mean, later in life, if something came up where he saw he was wrong, he changed that too. And so it was an attitude of really striving to obey God and making changes when necessary. It's hard to do. You know, and I think most people would say, oh, I can admit when I'm wrong. But that's not true. Most people don't. Not really. Or they might say, well, I made a mistake, or I didn't understand, or, you know, and we've all probably had those thoughts. But the reality is, if we're not living by every word of God, which, again, is a continual process that we're striving towards, then there's some areas where we're wrong, and we have to change. Having an attitude of being willing to change is essential to be a true Christian. And can somebody do that? Well, that's part of counting the cost. Here's a quote from the Correspondence Course. It says, many today are hearing God's truth proclaimed on the Key of David program, in the pages of the Trumpet, the Royal Vision, and this Bible Correspondence Course, and we could add in KPCG as well, where many people listen to these radio programs and get their podcasts. It says, but only those who respond, who take action, will be saved. Action has to be taken. It says, you have been warned. You have seen the plain truth of God's word revealed. You have seen for yourself, out of your own Bible, that the teachings of modern Christianity are false. And you have discovered that God means business. What are you going to do with this precious, priceless knowledge that God has revealed to you through your diligent study of His revealed word? The choice is up to you. You are accountable. And anybody that reads that, that's the truth. You're accountable. I'm accountable. If we've looked at the truth of God and God's opened our mind to it, we're accountable for it. We live in a society that often doesn't want to take responsibility. They don't want to be responsible. They don't want to be accountable. Part of coming out of this society and learning to obey God is taking accountability. Taking accountability. And of course, that means sometimes saying, you know what, I am wrong. I went the wrong way on that, and I need to turn and go the other direction. To be a true Christian, we have to always put God first, obey Him and His word above all. And number two, we do have to admit when we are wrong, repent and change, and then go the other direction. You know, not just sit there and feel bad and say, I'm wrong, but okay, then get going the right direction. How many of those that God is calling are up to the challenge of really putting God first and being able to admit error and change? We do have to count the cost and then continue on to do those things, to put God first daily. And when we're wrong, admit it, repent and change, and move forward. And then we can really grow and develop more of God's mind. And in so doing, we're preparing for our incredible human potential in the kingdom and family of God. That's all the time we have for this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.